You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. It's 2:49 Central Time. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. If you have a hobby, chances are very good that you use the internet in your pursuit of that hobby. Over the last several years, the number of hobbyists online has boomed. In this portion of the program, my guest is Susanna Fox. I'm going to talk with her about how many hobbyists are using the internet and what they're using the internet for. Susanna Fox is with the Pew Internet and American Life Project, where she serves as Associate Director. Good afternoon, Susanna.
Good afternoon.
Tell us about the work of the Pew Internet and American Life Project.
We are funded by the Pew Charitable Trust to look at the social impact of the internet, which means we study who's online and what they do, but also who's not online and why. And one of the activities we saw right away, our very first survey in March 2000, was hobbies. How many people were searching for hobbies online? And it's only gotten more popular over the last 7 years.
Yeah. 2000, you mentioned that year. You know, it seems not all that long before 2000, we were asking, what's the internet good for? And one of the answers now appears to be that it's good for pursuing a hobby. How does looking for information about hobbies compare with the other popular uses for the internet? Shopping comes to mind.
Well, it's actually more popular than shopping. People use the internet in all sorts of ways to connect with people, to find things that they want to buy or trade. And pursuing a hobby sort of draws those activities together. You want to connect to other people who pursue the same activity, and you often need to find something obscure. I met, for example, a teenager who got really into taxidermy and would ask his mom to stop every time they saw roadkill. And but he used the internet to find just the right glass eye for the owl that he was working on. And I thought that was pretty extraordinary that this teenager in suburban Virginia would be able to connect with hobbyists all over the world who are experts in taxidermy.
Mm. So not only are people looking for information, they are building communities.
They are building communities, and that's what has been fascinating to watch over the last few years when we've seen broadband to the home increase to a point where half of American homes now have a high-speed internet connection. That means that people are uploading content as well as downloading content. They're able to keep a blog. They're able to upload video about their pursuits, as well as watch video and read other people's blogs.
Do people online often or occasionally stumble upon or decide to take up a hobby because they've just come across it?
We have heard stories about that. Even more often is that someone has a casual interest and the internet makes it so easy to pursue it that it becomes a more serious interest. Genealogy is the most common example. It's so popular to search for someone's name online, whether it's someone alive or someone who's passed. You can connect to so many genealogical resources online that a casual searcher becomes a genealogist very quickly.
Yeah. Well, the Pew Internet and American Life Project, you surveyed hobbyists online and by telephone, and you told us the story about the young taxidermist. What other kinds of stories did you hear about the impact hobby information and hobby communities have had on people's lives and their hobbies?
It's pretty amazing to find out. 8 out of 10 internet users say that they pursue their hobbies online. And about one-third of internet users do it on a typical day. And it's a very broad-based group. It's people of all ages, people with dial-up connections as well as broadband connections, people all over the country. People are able to travel virtually, for example. They can't necessarily get to the art museums all over the world that they're interested in, but they're able to visit the websites and enjoy the artwork online. Mm-hmm. Another example is actually a genealogical example. We talked to a young woman who was doing a research project on behalf of her uncle for her uncle's birthday. She was creating a scrapbook of their ancestors who'd come over from Wales. So she did a search for a rather unusual family name, Governor Cadwallader. I just love saying that, Governor Cadwallader.
I'm glad I don't have to say it.
And I practiced a few times. And she entered that name into a search engine and found a cameo portrait of her triple great-grandmother on a website that's based in New Zealand. So there she was, able to look at a likeness of her great-great-great-grandmother, who happened to be named Maria Charlotte Governor Cadwallader.
Hmm. Now, there's so much information out there. How are people coping with that? How do they sift through it all and find what's right from what's kind of questionable?
That's another really interesting thread that we've been following in our research, whether it's hobby information or health information or information about which car to buy.
Mm-hmm.
People are using search engines as the de facto first stop and second opinion. People are entering search terms into search engines, and whereas when we began our research in the year 2000, it was really at the beginning of the search engine boom that we're seeing now, where it really is the de facto first stop. The search engines have now become really quite accurate in connecting people with what they want. Except for a few examples, we see that people are a little less satisfied when it comes to the amount of personal information about an individual, whether it's their own information or information about someone else. They're less likely to find exactly what they need. They're more likely to find the information that they need regarding a hobby, a product they want to buy, something like that, because those things can be very specific, and a search engine can zero in on that information quite quickly.
Yeah. I've got one last question for you, and I can only give you about 30 seconds. How good are we at being editors, and are we getting better? Is this something your project is interested in as well?
We're especially interested in how teenagers are writing these days. They consider instant messaging writing, and so do we. We want to look at that and see what is the future of editing and writing.
There we have to leave it. We're out of time. I hope we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Susanna Fox has been my guest in this portion of the program. She is Associate Director of the Pew Internet and American Life Project.